Markus, I am running on 3 hours of sleep and I am absolutely furious.
Hello.
Did you see the breaking news from Washington over the weekend?
I did.
Anthropic just pulled Claude Fable 5 and Mythos 5 offline globally.
What happened?
3 days after the biggest AI launch of the year. The US Department of Commerce issued a sudden export control directive. They banned every single foreign national from accessing the API.
I saw it, Sarah. It is a massive geopolitical move. The restriction is so strict, it even covers Anthropic's own European developers working in their London office. They are trying to verify...
They cannot verify citizenship on their API in real time, Markus. That is the point. So they just disabled the models for the entire world.
Why are you so upset?
I was up at 3 o'clock this morning trying to bypass the geofence with 3 different high-end VPNs and a corporate credit card from Delaware. Nothing worked. They track everything down to the hardware level. Once again, we Europeans are looking into an empty tube.
Sounds familiar, right?
We are completely locked out of the next level of computing because Washington panicked over a minor security report.
They treat commercial software like military weapons now. It proves my exact point for today's show, Sarah. Relying on centralized American monoliths is a high-risk strategy.
Oh, don't start with your I told you so face. I can see you smiling from across the table. It is not funny, Markus. It is digital segregation.
I am perfectly with
you. But fine. Roll the intro music. We need to talk about this fractured world before I lose my mind completely. Welcome back to Sarah's Tech Season 1, Episode 5. I am Sarah Weilby and across from me sits Markus, the human embodiment of German caution.
Hey.
Markus, today we are opening the doors to a very strange place. Let's call it the digital psychiatric ward of the Western Hemisphere. We are tearing down the biggest myth in modern business, the European digital single market. Spoilers ahead, it is a total fairy tale. Bureaucrats in Brussels invented to justify their salaries. Markus, are you ready to face the brutal numbers today, or are you still hiding behind your local firewalls?
Good morning, Sarah. My local firewalls are doing excellent work, thank you. And I am always ready for numbers. But you love the shiny Silicon Valley narrative. Someone needs to look under the hood. Let's see what you found under the hood this week.
I found an absolute economic horror show. I spent my week reading the heavy economic postmortems.
What?
Specifically, Enrico Letta's report, Much More Than a Market, and Mario Draghi's massive competition analysis. Let's look at reality. Last year, I did some work at a brilliant health tech startup in Berlin. They had a fantastic product. They wanted to scale to Paris and Madrid. Do you know what happened? They spent 40% of their seed funding just on local legal compliance and localized data formatting.
You're kidding.
40%! Because Europe is not one market. It is 27 tiny, terrified digital fiefdoms.
Startups want a frictionless highway. But Letta's report also shows why that highway is bumpy. Look at our telecom infrastructure. We have over 100 mobile operators in the European Union, 100 different companies running localized networks. The US has 3 major operators, maybe 4. Yes, our system is fragmented. It is a logistical headache for massive mergers, but it also prevents a single corporate monopoly from controlling...
A single corporate monopoly. Tear that to the balance sheets, Markus. Draghi's report literally proved the opposite. 90% of all European corporate data is currently stored and managed by 3 American hyperscalers: Amazon, Microsoft, and Google. We do not own our own digital history. We regulate everything and build absolutely nothing. We have the most beautifully formatted, GDPR-compliant cookie banners in the universe. But economically? We are just a digital colony. We are renters in a house owned by Seattle.
We are renters because European tech leaders spent 15 years choosing convenience over architecture, Sarah.
Oh yeah?
It was cheap to throw everything onto AWS. It was easy. It was a failure of corporate vision, not a failure of regulation. But look at the regions you always praise. You love the Nordic model. You look at Scandinavia like it is a tech paradise. Have they solved the riddle?
Do not disrespect Scandinavia, Markus. I feel a bit Danish. I lived over a year there because one of my close friends is Dane. I know the system. Her 80-year-old grandmother in Copenhagen does not carry cash. She buys her groceries with a phone swipe. The smartphone penetration there is over 92%. They have unified digital identities. Denmark has MitID. Sweden has BankID. These systems manage your taxes, your bank accounts, your medical records, and your parking tickets in one seamless interface. They build global giants like Spotify and Klarna. Or remember Skype? They don't wait for permission. They transform.
The Nordic model is incredible for user adoption, absolutely. The seamlessness of BankID is exactly what the rest of Europe misses. But the systemic catch is that these systems are highly optimized national islands. A Danish MitID does not work in Sweden. It does not work in Germany. The systems are culturally unified, but they are architecturally isolated. You cannot cross the border with them. And here is the real question, Sarah. What infrastructure runs underneath those beautiful, minimalist Nordic apps?
They run on secure high-end infrastructure, Markus. Obviously.
They run on Amazon Web Services and Microsoft Azure. Every single digital transaction in your Nordic utopia feeds the revenue streams of American corporations. Scandinavia digitalized its society, but they handed the keys of the kingdom to Seattle. That is world-class consumer compliance, but it is not technological independence.
Ugh, you are so pedantic. Fine, the servers are rented. But look at the chaos on the rest of the continent. Every country is running in a different direction. Look at France. Emmanuel Macron is obsessed with souveraineté numérique.
Vive la France.
They throw billions of euros at Mistral AI. They want a national French champion. The tech must be proud. It must speak French.
Mistral makes excellent open-weight models, Sarah. I run them locally on my desk. But look at their business strategy. Mistral preaches European independence, and then they immediately sign a massive partnership with Microsoft. They took US venture capital.
Because Redmond has actual money, Markus. Unlike the French bureaucracy, startups need computing power, not national pride. But look at Italy. Italy has the exact opposite strategy. The Italian Garante, their data protection authority, acts like a digital guillotine. They banned ChatGPT in 2023. They are enforcing the new EU AI Act with total aggression right now in 2026. Italy blocks everything first and asks questions 3 years later. It is digital self-burial. They are so terrified of data leaks that they prefer to stay in the dark ages.
I want to give you a different framing. Italy protects its citizens from data exploitation. The big US models scraped the entire public internet without asking for permission. They took human creativity for free. Italy stood up and said, no. That is not fear. That is digital dignity.
Dignity does not create jobs for 25-year-old graduates in Rome, Markus. You cannot eat dignity for breakfast.
Okay.
Look at Spain. Spain is much smarter. They do not fight the giants. They build homes for them. Amazon and Microsoft are investing billions of dollars in the Aragon region. Malaga is a massive international tech hub now. Spain provides the land, the tax breaks, and the infrastructure. They welcome the cloud with open arms.
Spain builds the physical data centers, yes. But that is classic digital colonialism. Spain provides the soil. Spain uses its precious water to cool the hot server racks. Spain strains its regional power grid. But the intelligence, the algorithms, and the massive profits fly straight back to California.
Oh no.
Europe becomes the electric socket. The US takes...
Oh my god, you are impossible to please. France is too compromised. Italy is too terrified. Spain is too submissive. You are the typical, bockige German engineer.
Am I?
This is exactly why Eastern Europe is running circles around us, Markus. Look at Poland. Look at Lithuania. The developers in Warsaw and Vilnius do not care about your grand philosophical theories. They see our West European hesitation and they use it. They write clean, fast, agile software. They don't write 300-page corporate manuals. They build, they launch, and they survive because they are pragmatic.
I actually agree with you completely on Eastern Europe, Sarah. Their developers are highly pragmatic. They don't get trapped in heavy corporate cloud ecosystems. They build lightweight, independent tools. That is where the real European market is happening. It happens in the clean code, not in the Brussels Parliament.
Let's take a quick breath for our sponsor of the week.
Okay.
Let's talk about running a digital agency in 2026. Every influencer on social media is hyping up prompt-to-code AI platforms. Tools like Lovable look beautiful in 10-second video demos. You type a single sentence and boom, you have a web application. But let's talk about day two. Your client calls you. They want a specific layout shift. They want a custom database form. You go back to the prompt box. You type the instruction. The AI rewrites the code, but suddenly it hallucinates. The layout breaks. Your website becomes a fragile house of cards. You move one single element and the whole architecture shatters. It is exhausting and it creates massive technical debt. I found a much more mature way to handle this workflow. It is called Site.pro. The engineering team comes straight out of Lithuania, a perfect example of that fast, pragmatic Baltic tech scene we just mentioned. Site.pro is a brilliant low-cost alternative to bloated platforms like Wix.com. You can start for absolutely free and their professional tiers are incredibly cheap. Here is why it completely bypasses the AI trap. Site.pro combines generative AI speed with a rock-solid visual editor. You can prompt a website into existence, yes. But when you need to modify an e-commerce box or a checkout form later, you do not ask an LLM to rewrite the code. You just open the visual editor and change exactly that piece. Your architecture stays completely stable. No breaking layouts, no code surprises, no expensive corporate subscription traps. Check it out at Site.pro. It is the smart, sovereign way to run your daily web agency workflow.
Now, back to the show.
Okay, we are back. We were talking about pragmatism and survival. Let's look at the biggest tech thriller of 2026. Let's look at the Netherlands. Look at the Nebius Group in Amsterdam. This story is mind-blowing, Marcus. Nebius was the international core of Yandex. They split away from Russia completely. They moved their headquarters to Amsterdam, listed on the Nasdaq, and their new Q1 2026 financial results are insane. Their revenue grew by 684% year over year.
They are expanding their GPU infrastructure at an incredible speed.
They are flying! They just secured over 1 gigawatt of power for an AI factory in Pennsylvania. And right here in Europe, they just announced a massive £1.7 billion expansion in the UK, deploying thousands of NVIDIA Blackwell Ultra clusters. They are building the heavy AI factories that Europe desperately needs. Fintech giants like Revolut are moving their entire anti-money laundering AI stacks onto Nebius. NVIDIA is pouring billions into them. Meta is signing server contracts with them. This is an Amsterdam-based powerhouse, scaling frontier AI on European soil. We finally have a giant on the board, Marcus. How can you possibly find a negative angle on this?
It is a magnificent engineering feat, Sarah. Arkady Voloj and his team are brilliant. But let's look at the underlying architecture. Who is Nebius building these massive, energy-devouring AI factories for? They are building them to run workloads for Meta, for Microsoft, and for massive, venture-funded US startups. Nebius imports NVIDIA chips and locks European developers into NVIDIA's proprietary CUDA software trap. We provide the land and the power grids, but the algorithmic sovereignty remains entirely in California. It's a spectacular success, yes, but it's a success built on renting out our infrastructure to foreign monopolies.
Damn it, Marcus. You're pointing right at the sore spot, aren't you? I want to celebrate the Amsterdam growth so badly. But you are right about the structural dependency. It is infuriating. We celebrate a 600% revenue growth, But when you look closely, we are essentially just becoming high-end data foundries and power grid providers for American models. We supply the electricity, they harvest the intelligence.
Yes.
It is a gilded cage.
It is a cage, but it is not just a European problem. The irony is that the American market is hitting its own walls right now. We always look at the US as this perfect, frictionless monolith. We think it is one single market of 330 million consumers where scaling is easy. That is a myth, Sarah. The US market is fracturing at a terrifying pace in 2026.
Culturally or legally?
Both. Culturally, the demographic shifts are massive. The Hispanic population is an absolute economic superpower now. If you launch a digital product in the US today and you do not have a dedicated, deep, Spanish-first localization and marketing stack, you are completely invisible in California, Texas, and Florida. It is not one single English-speaking culture anymore. It is highly segmented.
Uh-huh. Caixa is one thing, Marcos. But they still share one legal system for business compliance?
No, they don't. That is the monolithic myth. Because Washington has completely failed to pass a federal privacy law, the US states have taken over. As of right now, in mid-2026, over 20 US states have enacted their own comprehensive consumer data privacy laws. On January 1st of this year, Indiana, Kentucky, and Rhode Island launched their separate frameworks. In a few weeks, Arkansas joins the club. And California? They just expanded their laws with the Delete Act, allowing users to destroy data broker profiles with one click. For a modern tech startup in the US, compliance isn't a single checkmark anymore. It's a legal minefield spanning 20 different state capitals. They are experiencing exactly the kind of regulatory Zersplitterung that you blame Europe for.
Wait, connect those dots. If the US is fracturing into a state law patchwork, and Europe is stuck in its national silos, then the entire concept of a monolithic centralized cloud market is dead. It is dead on both sides of the Atlantic.
Yes, and that is what I meant.
Marcus, we've been arguing about the wrong thing. We want to build a giant European corporate monolith to fight the American monolith. But the monolith itself is the wrong architecture for 2026. Centralized clouds are getting too heavy, too expensive, and too legally complicated.
Exactly. That is the core point, Sarah. The massive corporate cloud silo is breaking down under its own legal and physical weight. The future is not monolithic.
Okay, let's find a middle ground here. Because I am still not going to live in your small web sanctuary, Marcus. I am not going to eat digital sourdough bread, run websites on solar-powered Raspberry Pis, and pretend the commercial world does not exist. Businesses need customers. They need to grow. But if cloud centralization is a dependency trap and technical isolation is commercial suicide, the answer has to be a federated hybrid strategy.
Tell me how you see that working in practice.
We use the global hardware networks like Nebius or Site.pro because we need their computing power and engineering speed to scale. You don't ignore them, but you keep your data governance and your execution layers completely local and open weight. You run your models using your local stack with Olama and Yann.ai right on your own desk. We don't build a massive European cloud monopoly, and we don't hide in a medieval bunker. We build a network of sovereign, highly automated nodes that can talk to each other across borders without ever surrendering their core data.
Now that is an architecture I can fully support, Sarah. That is out-engineering the monopolies at a human scale. It is utilizing global efficiency without surrendering local sovereignty.
Look at that. We actually found a blueprint for sanity inside the digital psychiatric ward. And that is the perfect closing thought for today's episode. We traveled from the letter report to the Nordic Mirage. We looked inside the nebulous AI factories. And we ended up with a strategy that actually works. If you are listening to this on your commute or while doing your laundry, thank you for staying with us. You can find all the links, the economic reports, and information about our sponsor Site.pro in our show notes on Substack. Marcus, thank you for the brutal reality check today. We cracked the myth.
It was an absolute pleasure, Sarah. Thank you. And to everyone on the road, drive safely, keep your data local, and keep your infrastructure independent. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone. See you next week for episode 6.
Welcome to the screen where the sparks will fly. Sarah's got the gadgets that'll make you sigh. Circuits hum and buzz like a neon glow. Step into the magic of Sarah's tech show. She's got drones that dance in the sky so high. Smartphones that blink like a firefly. AI whispers secrets only she can know. Let's plug into the world of Sarah's tech show. Buttons clicking, wires ticking, here we go. The future's in her hands, watch the current flow. Lasers beaming, screens are streaming all aglow. Get lost in the wonder of Sarah's tech show. Spinning out dreams in plastic. Her keyboard skills are nothing short of magic. Virtual reality, she makes it real. With Sarah on the mic, you'll feel the thrill. Binary beats sync with the heart of the crowd. Digital symphonies played loud and proud. The tech world's a stage where her genius will grow. Come ride the wave of Sarah's tech show.